Extra Points is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it and must be 21 years or older.
Welcome, Extra Points listeners, and congratulations on making it through yet another week. Good news, the weekend awaits with its enchanting promises of endless sports and free time, then ends up with you screaming silently at some jerk in the Costco parking lot instead. Or maybe I'm just projecting. Either way, we know how hard you work, and while we hope listening to all our shows makes that time go a little faster, we don't want that to feel like work in and of itself. So we've had our producers pick out their favorite bits and put them together in a half-hour supercut for you to sample. I know, I can't believe we have producers either. If you like something, check out the full episode the next week wherever you get your podcasts. In the meantime, thanks for supporting the network. And let me just say from the bottom of my heart as the co-founder that I sincerely hope your favorite team still loses to mine. Enjoy the shows.
Well, to kick off this best show, we have to start with the biggest news so far of this NFL free agency period. Russell Wilson signs with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and none better than Dave Damashek on -3 to weigh in on this topic.
So like the late great Jerry Orbach said, while he was still walking the big blue marble to the late, great Patrick Swayze at the end of Dirty Dancing, when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. I was wrong. I did not think that this was going to go this way. I think that the Pittsburgh Steelers attempted to dictate the free agent quarterback market to give Kenny Pickett the promised competition that they told you they were going to give him when the season ended a month or two ago. Now here it is in Russ Wilson. I did not think it was going to be number three. I think, like I say, they wanted to dictate the circumstances specifically. I don't think Omar Khan was lying to anybody when he announced a week or two ago that they wanted Mason Rudolph back. I think that that wasn't what we know. That was the truth. I think they brought Russell Wilson in as soon as the Broncos announced we're letting this guy go. A few teams, the Giants met with him, the Steelers met with him. I think the Steelers took the meeting on some level to try and spur Mason Rudolph's team to make a decision, to let us know, are you coming back? You know we want you back here in Pittsburgh. Are you coming back? Rudolph told him no. Then all of a sudden they look around. Tannehill doesn't rise to the level that they want, or maybe Tannehill doesn't want to come in there as an assumed backup. I don't think at this stage in Tannehill's career, he's rightly perceived as somebody who's going to win the gig over Pickett, no matter what you think about Kenny Pickett. So all of a sudden, they're left, the Steelers are, after having promised, we're going to give this guy some legit competition in camp this year. Who's going to provide that competition if we're not willing to go and trade for Justin Fields? All of a sudden, Russell Wilson sitting there at $1.2 million. And on one hand, one small hand, yes, I saw Kenny Pickett play last year. On the other small hand, I saw Russell Wilson play last year. This is more mediocrity. I have called for the Steelers. My wish was that they would flood the zone. That if Kenny Pickett, given where we are in the QB league and in the QB pipeline in terms of free agency and draft eligible guys, it's a better spot in 2024 than it's going to be in 2025, at least the way it looks right now. Shedeur Sanders kind of presents as the guy for next year. Again, things might change in 12 months. I think it's going to be a long walk in the desert if this doesn't work out with who the Steelers have in the locker. And maybe they're still, I would suspect that they're going to have to draft somebody now to create a three-way competition or to have a third guy in there. Obviously, they standardly are going to have a third guy in there. Russell Wilson is a rental. And even if you like him, even if you like Russell Wilson and you think that this is a good move, it still is akin to having a one-bedroom apartment and you rent out an Airbnb, a fancy one, for the weekend. You still have to go back to the apartment at some point. Russell Wilson doesn't solve anything long-term. I'm shook by it. And the bottom line is, Hench, I just don't think Russell Wilson's very good at this point. Were it 6 years ago? Were it 3 years ago? I would be pretty happy about this move. Have you watched Russell Wilson play in the last two or three years? Forget the name brand. He is not the runner. He's not the scrambler that Kenny Pickett is now. He turns the ball over. I know he didn't throw a lot of picks last year, but he's a fumbler. He takes a ton of sacks. He doesn't throw the ball over the middle of the field. And by the way, there's no risk to this because it's only $1 million. So it's basically for free. The Denver Broncos are paying him $80 million. They just let Justin Simmons and all-pro safety go. They just gave away Jerry Jeudy for nothing because they have to offset the $80 million they're into Russell Wilson for just to stay away from their building. This is who the Steelers just got. Yes, there is harm potentially in bringing him in.
But wait, we're not done with quarterback news just yet. We have to hear from Sarah Tiana on Extra Points, weighing in on her Atlanta Falcons signing Kirk Cousins to a massive 4-year deal.
Congratulations, Sarah Tiana. Kirk is your guy. How say you?
Well, I'm really excited. I was really on board with Fields. I was like all in, you know, thinking that's what it was going to be. And then the rumors about Kirk Cousins started to come, and I'm like, well, that's not splashy. That's not fun. And then I looked at his numbers last year. And then I thought, well, then when we got him and the deal came out, I was like, oh, we're really only paying him for 2 years, which is great. Because in the third year, we're only giving him $10 million, which is great for me. Because to me, what I really wanted us to be able to draft a quarterback in this draft class. And I knew if we got Fields, we would not be drafting a quarterback because you can't mentally put that on a guy while you're giving him a 1-year make it deal. That puts an incredible amount of pressure, and it doesn't give him, you know, enough options at success by saying like, hey, we're going to take you on a 1-year deal, Justin Fields, and we're going to draft your replacement just in case you suck. Like that doesn't help anybody. But knowing that Kirk is coming and like we have him for 4 years, really three, you know, that means we could draft his replacement and that doesn't injure him mentally, you know, or doesn't handicap him in any way. And I think it's the best case scenario. It's saying, hey, we can incubate a guy for 2 years, maybe three, learn behind one of the best in the business financially and, you know, physically. And we can still try to win in the meantime because, you know,
I doubt they do that. I predict that that's not the way it goes. I hear
your
noise.
You don't think that we're going to draft a quarterback?
Maybe if there's one that they really like.
First round.
They like a value that's there in the second or third round that they perceive to be
for
there,
sure.
Like Penix or Nix or something like that. But
yeah,
I don't. Yeah,
we're not drafting in the first round. I'm not saying that. I think we take Dallas Turner at number 8, and then we draft a QB in the second round if we don't trade up to draft a QB in the first.
Yeah, it really is like every time I have conversations about the NFC, whether it's about Spaghetti's Giants or your Falcons or whoever, I get jealous. I start to think about it and I'm like, I don't know. Is that guy going to be good? Like, oh yeah, you're in the NFC. You know, you absolutely can win the NFC South with Kirk Cousins. Yeah. And in fact, I didn't check the revised odds, Spaghetti. Would you mind giving us a quick look there and seeing what they are, if they've been updated today? They certainly should reflect the Kirk signing there. The Bucs ran it back with Bake.
Kornheiser yesterday said it made us immediate Super Bowl favorites.
Like I say, that's exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, when that hits my ear, like the Falcons, because Kirk Cousins, like, oh yeah, they're in the NFC. Sure.
But we were a quarterback away last year. Well, our defense is really good. We have great offensive weapons. Not to say that Kirk didn't have offensive weapons, but he did make contact. It's just that Minnesota couldn't keep people from scoring. We have that ability.
It is, you know, 10 years ago, there were some QBs that could get by and thrive behind a bad offensive line. Now, everybody has to have a pretty, Joe Burrow, maybe not, and Mahomes. But outside of that, you got to have a real good offensive line. If Kirk, you build up a wall in front of him, he'll thrive. We've seen that repeatedly. All the jokes about what he does in January, Falcons fans, I'm assuming that your standard is relatively low. You win the division. We get to play in the wild card or divisional round. Good enough for us, Captain Kirk, right?
Let's take a quick break here.
You know, when the conversation turns Stampers, I always go with my number one as Caesars. Let's talk about them a little bit, shall we? Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns rewards credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using this code. Listen up. OmahaFull. The word Omaha and the word full. And then you place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. If you keep those winnings, but if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
With college basketball on our minds, since March Madness is almost here, Toby Mergler and Martin Weiss on Trendy discuss if college programs can compete both in football and basketball.
I mean, they definitely are. And like, if this was 30 years ago, like when blue chips was getting made, I would say just cheat, right? But now everybody can cheat. Cheating's legal. It's called NIL. And so, like, I guess part of the question to you, Martin, is like, is this a resource allocation issue? Like, do you now have to choose to be a football school, a basketball school? If you try to be both, you take a big risk to be neither? Because if a certain amount of attention is going to go into this, a certain amount of resources, a certain amount of alumni funds are going to go into building up programs. I mean, are we going to see schools be able to excel at all of them? Like, when I say excel, I mean, like, national championship level.
Sure.
Or are they going to have to kind of make a choice? And at Michigan, it's always going to be football.
If Michigan basketball can't fund itself to be competing with the highest players, especially when you consider the largest living alumni endowment based, like coming from like University of Michigan, then they should be embarrassed. Like that's embarrassing. Michigan is this is not Duke or Alabama competes in basketball and somehow finds a way to compete in football. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Alabama somehow finds a way. But this is not like University of Houston or even like a UCLA or what's another, like, Michigan should be considered in the realm of like University of Florida, University of Texas, those big major public institutions that compete at high level in just about every sport that they play because of the finances and the institution are insane, right? So, like, the idea that Michigan basketball is where it is now and Michigan football is where it is now, like, they've got to marry that closer, because when I was in college, it couldn't have been any different.
Yeah, I mean, I just wonder if, like, in the NIL era, will schools like Duke or UConn or even Houston to a certain extent, like schools like that that are really going to focus on basketball, start to widen the gap? Because, like, it really is hard to do both. In fact, I was born in 1980, Martin. Do you know how many colleges have won a championship since 1980 in both men's basketball and college football?
University of Florida. Twice.
Yep. I was saying there's the number of colleges that have actually won in 44 years in both.
So I'm running through the college football champions first and then trying to match them with basketball. And I think it might just be Florida.
It's funny. Of all people to ask the question to, there's two, and the second one's Michigan, because they won in 89 in basketball.
Oh, 89. Okay. Yes. That's a good point. 89. And you know what threw me off? Michigan, I did not count them as national football champions, even though they won this year. That's what threw it off.
There you go. So, yeah, Florida and Michigan are the only ones to do it. And if I was born in 1970, if I was 10 years older, it would still only be Florida and Michigan. So it's not something that is done frequently before NIL. And I wonder if it's just going to get worse.
Well, we're not done with the Pittsburgh Steelers just yet. Former Pittsburgh Steeler and Indianapolis Colt offensive lineman Trey Essex joins Dave Dameshek on -3 to discuss Kenny Pickett. Now with Russell Wilson in town, will he ever start a game for the Steelers again?
The devil's Dameshek of all of this to me is that if we take the Steelers, that this is just a legit competition and we have not rendered a verdict on Russ v. Pickett, then maybe Pickett wins the gig and he emerges better. And I wonder if there's some math. I know that's conspiracy theory level kind of thinking, but do you think there's any chance that that's going on? The Khan and Tomlin and Arthur Smith and said, like, maybe Pickett rises up here, because that when you start hearing this exact same line from the parties coming out of there, and it is this, it's if Kenny Pickett can't overcome this challenge, then he's not the guy we thought we were. And it's that we thought he was. And it's the same line. And everybody keeps saying that. You keep hearing that from people who would be bouncing off of the decision makers here. So it's a little suspicious to me. I'm just curious, do you think, bottom line, Kenny Pickett ever plays, ever starts a game aside from injury for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
That's a tough one. That is a tough one. If I had to answer that right now with how I feel, no. He does not start another game for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Because I think if Russ has a B-minus season, they extend him for a year or two at a very reasonable price. He doesn't have to play B-plus ball. He doesn't have to play A-plus ball. He just has to be good enough.
Turn down the fifth-year option on Pickett, and that's a wrap on his time in Pittsburgh.
I mean, yeah, he either gets traded because he still has a fourth year next year, or he gets straight up released, and they start hunting for their next franchise quarterback through the draft the next 2 years.
And that, Trey, is my primary issue. Mm-hmm. I get that Justin Fields is a flawed guy, but if you can get him for a third and you can flood the zone along with Russ or without, I think it's worth it. And I get all the knocks on Justin Fields, but there still remains upside potentially there, as it does for Kenny Pickett. Whereas the ripening of Russell Wilson has occurred. We know exactly what he is, and we can excuse the last 3 years or so, but Russell Wilson at age 36 is not going to win the Super Bowl. How do I know that? Because only Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and John Elway have ever been so old and won a Super Bowl. I don't think Russ bucks that trend. And by the way, obviously, as a Steelers fan, I hope I'm wrong about all of that. I'm not rooting against him or rooting for Kenny Pickett out of a sense of self-validation. I'm vain, Trey, but I'm not so vain that that would get in the way for me, that I would root for Russ's failure because I said the opposite of that. I get that that's a lot of people kind of operate with that. I'd like for the Steelers to win games and go to the Super Bowl and send Cam Hayward off in glory and all that.
TJ, kind of stuff. Yeah, the thing about Russ, When you compare him to the other old quarterbacks that have left and have gone on to have success with other things, I think these 3 years have humbled him beyond belief. I think he left Seattle. Part of the reason he left Seattle is so he could be in the same conversation with those three, because he thought he was capable of carrying an offense. He thought he was the one that could dictate an offense. He is not Peyton Manning. He is not Tom Brady, obviously. I think he realized he needs more help than those guys do. He himself can't turn around a franchise. He found out very, very easily in Denver that he can't do that. So he's going to a team that has a running game. He's going to a team that has a defense. And he knows that he's not going to be relied upon like he was in Denver.
And let's stop down for a quick break here.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
During a brand new lemon pepper parlay, Martin Weiss and Mark Gunnels get into a nice fun debate over the Oklahoma City Thunder and if they're actually serious contenders in the West.
Like, nobody. Zero people. Zero. I haven't found a one. Are like, the Oklahoma City Thunder are making a run in this postseason. All they've been is top of the West all year, just about. MVP candidate, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And they got, you know, the original skinny tower, Chet Holmgren, who, when you know, you combine him with Victor Wembanyama, that's 14 feet and 100 pounds. But I just, between them, I was like, I was told by AppleCare that Chet Holmgren was going to be the type of guy that would change the franchise's future. Why isn't the future now for the Oklahoma City Thunder?
If they play Lakers in the first round, are you picking OKC to win that series?
Yes.
Really?
Who's supposed to guard Shai?
Anthony Davis?
You think Anthony Davis could stand in front of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander?
I thought you said Chet. I thought you said Chet.
Oh. No.
I mean, Shai can, that's fine, but have you not seen their matchups this year? I know it's just the regular season, but they have a massive size advantage against OKC. Like, I would love to play OKC in the first round. Like, love with all caps. Like, I think the Lakers win in 5, maybe 6.
What? This is bizarro world. It's just, you know what? It's my fault. I listen to too much of the day-to-day conversation.
It's Memphis all over again. Like, it's this similar situation. But this is probably even worse because OKC, this current group, has never been in the playoffs. At least Memphis had a couple of playoff series before Lakers played them. But it's just a bad matchup. It's just a bad matchup. It doesn't take away anything they've done in the regular season. I know what you're going to say. Does the regular season matter? Like, yes, it matters. But also, the matchups matter even more. The Thunder are just a terrible, bad, it's just a bad matchup for them. Like, they don't have the size. AD is a guy that can not only match Chet, but can outplay him. So there's no advantage there with Chet. And, I mean, with SGA, sure, go ahead. Score 35 points a game. Fine. I mean, where else, though? I just don't see. LeBron's going to have his way. They're going to kill him on the glass. They're going to have plenty of second-chance points. I just think it's a terrible matchup, man. Like, if you're OKC, you should pray that you don't play Lakers in the first round.
I mean, you heard it here first. Best team in the West, 45-19. don't have a shot. 8-2 in their last 10, don't matter. Once the games start mattering in the playoffs, they'll be out of there before the second round.
Only if they play the Lakers. I'm not talking about just nobody else. Specifically, a Lakers matchup is a terrible matchup for them.
Was it when the Lakers played the Suns in the first round? Was that an 8-1 matchup too?
I think it was 2-7.
2-7?
Yeah.
That was something.
Yeah.
Andre Drummond leaning back on the sidelines.
Yeah. Lakers win that series if AD doesn't get hurt.
Yeah, and if it was a fifth, we'd all be drunk. I just think it's funny. Because, Chet is a can't-miss prospect. He can't miss. He's just this, that. He's best thing since sliced bread. SGA is all-star MVP candidate. It's just like, what else is supposed to happen here? Isn't this the recipe to win? Isn't this the way it's supposed to go?
I mean, but are you just discounting playoff experience? You don't think that matters at all? It'll be the first time.
To an extent. Like, to an extent, it matters, but also, like, it shouldn't matter that much if you have a good team. Like to get out of the first round, like, we're not talking about the 3 seed or the 4 seed or even, like, a team like the Pelicans who have, like, little playoff experience but haven't been. This is the healthiest they've been since Zion was drafted, right, this New Orleans team. Like, would you expect them to not advance?
I think you're massively underrating the Laker matchup, though. Like, it has nothing to do with them as the team. Like, but are you just going to sit up here and be disingenuous and act like the Lakers would be a normal, like, 7 seed? Like, a team that has LeBron James and Anthony Davis? Like,
let's think about this, because we just talked about
the conference finals last year.
And the year before that, they were a 7 seed. Like, which one is which of?
They went to the conference finals last year as a 7 seed.
So, yeah, I think the story is that. So I guess what, the Lakers just punt the regular season and just try to play well enough down the stretch to make it to where they have favorable matchups in the playoffs. Is that the strategy here? Because at some point, what you see on the court has to matter. Like, I watched this team against the Kings go out to a huge lead and then choke it off. Like, you know, it's like, I just wonder, like, and the Kings are in the 7th spot.
Yeah. Okay. But to your point, you're talking about what you see on the court in this particular matchup. Lakers are 3-1 against the Thunder this year. 3-1. I'm pretty sure they're the only team in the league that hasn't had much success against OKC, who's only lost, what, 15 games?
And 19.
Yeah, okay. And almost a quarter of them are against the Lakers? I think that means something.
I guess so. We'll see. I hope the Thunder run them out. I hope the Thunder win a championship this year. Because it's like nobody cares about the regular season. Give me the Thunder and the Timberwolves in the Western Conference Finals. Sign me up. I'm locked in. SGA versus Anthony Edwards. Canada versus America.
I feel like I'm in a matrix, though, because you made the same mistake last year when the Lakers played Memphis in the first round. You were like, the regular season has to matter. The Lakers are a 7 seed. What are we doing here? And then the Lakers go to the conference finals. Like, I thought you learned your lesson here, Barton.
So the lesson is the regular season really doesn't matter. Nobody cares. And it doesn't matter until the playoffs.
I think that's what you're telling me. Matchups matter. Matchups
matter. Yeah, all right. Matchups matter. This is just all more reason why the NBA needs to move the season back.
And to round out this best of On Trendy, Toby Mergler tells Martin Weiss, well, we all love football so much, so why can't we have it year-round?
My question to you, Martin, if we're going to look at adjusting the sports calendar, is why does football let anybody own anything? I mean, maybe you give up the summer months, but isn't there a way for football to last longer? I mean, I don't know if what makes it special is the scarcity or the ritual or the week-in, week-out nature, and if you fall out of those rhythms, maybe then the nation would fall out of love with it a little bit, but I don't think so. I think they love to follow the drama. drama. And we've certainly seen what it's done for the NBA. I think people love the aesthetics of it. And they do love the scarcity of it only being, you know, 16, 17 Sundays, whatever it might be a year. So I'm not coming out here and saying they should play year round, because that's insane. Like, these men are going through car crashes over and over again. You can't say, well, why don't you go through twice as many? But why is the calendar, why is it only taking up 4 or 5 months on the calendar? And I think there's like two ways to do this differently. One, I hope the spring leagues make it, but I have a lot of doubts just because of the quality of the athletes that are going to be in the fact that like the NFL is going to get the first pick of anybody who has any name recognition from college, right? So like, who's actually going to play in these spring leagues that we're going to care about? So then you have two choices if you want to extend the football calendar. Both of them are never going to happen, but your NBA thing's never going to happen either. So we're just having fun here before we get to our picks. One, college football in the spring. College football in the spring. Let the NFL completely own the fall. Let them have Saturdays and Sundays. Like, they'll double their TV revenue because everybody's going to have more windows to watch those games in. You get even more money into the league, so the NFL's not going to object. And then college football, they can double their money too, because you get all the same windows. You get all the same Saturday and Sunday windows all throughout the spring, and all of a sudden we've got football that we care about that is meaningful from, you know, August all the way until, let's say, May, we're around graduation time. Or NFL should add bye weeks. They should add bye weeks. People complain when they added the second one. I say add 10 more. I say you play two games, you get a week off. I say the NFL goes from September to like April or May, and you play the same number of games. Like, are you really not going to care about the Saints anymore? If they have every third week off, you might enjoy that. You might be able to go out and like spend some time in the nice, beautiful fall weather with your girlfriend or with your family or whoever it might be. And just play the same amount to spread it out over more time. It works really well in soccer, works really well in other sports. You don't have to do it every single week. And again, the TV revenue is going to explode because I don't need 9 games at 1 p.m. on Sunday. It's too much for me to watch. But even if the Commanders aren't playing, or especially if the Commanders aren't playing, I'm going to tune into the rest of the league because of gambling, because of fantasy, because of all these other reasons. And all of a sudden each TV window has like 2 games or 3 games or 4 games, and we get to have it, you know, an extra 3-4 months out of the year. So tell me why they can't do that.
I mean, why they can't? The NFL can do whatever the hell it wants. That's the first thing. It definitely can. But I do think that there is something that is, I don't know, maybe cathartic. I don't know the exact word I want to use, but there is something ritualistic of knowing that at 1 o'clock Eastern, you turn on the TV and more often than not, your team is playing. You can watch your squad. And it's the middle of the day on Sunday. You generally shouldn't have anything else to do, especially at that 1 o'clock time slot. You know, you go to church in the morning if that's what you get down, and you have maybe even have enough time to go grab a snack before you're sitting there and you're locked in on your team. But the thing about everybody playing at the same time that I think is massive is it makes the other games feel huge, right? Like, if you think about the NBA, no game feels like big. Like, the biggest game we've had in the NBA this year was probably last week when the Nuggets and the Celtics played. But that's just because those are two really good teams, and it's like, oh, this might be a finals preview type of deal. But you could have, you know, the Bears and the Commanders, for example, they played on a Thursday night this year. It felt like a bigger game. Two teams ultimately not going anywhere, right? Like, in the grand scheme of things. But when Justin Fields was tearing up Emmanuel Forbes on the outside, and DJ Moore had like 250 yards receiving, it sticks in your brain because it was a Thursday night game on, you know, a standalone broadcast. That's the thing the NFL does that they have mastered that other sports leagues have not been able to find. Like, the college basketball has its tournament, which feels very, very important throughout. But if you don't have a certain mix of blue bloods through the Elite Eight and Final Four, people probably tune out, right? No, we didn't sign up to see Fairleigh Dickinson play Florida Atlantic.
Yep. No, I completely agree with you. The NFL dominates event-based programming. As we see every single year, you look at the 100 highest rated TV events, it's like 95 football games and the Oscars and a couple other things. And so you're absolutely right about that. But let's do that in the spring too. Like, how excited would you be in March if you went to church in the morning, you got to come home and watch the Saints? You just ain't used to it yet. Like, I understand the ritual, I understand all that, but you can go a week without that. You can go a week with like going to church in the morning and coming home and watch Joe Burrow or somebody else, you know, get to watch your second team, the Lions or whoever it might be. And you're right. The NFL is the only people who can do this because everybody else has to look at the sports calendar and be like, all right, how do we avoid football? Why football? Football's proven they don't give a damn about everybody else. Football is just trying to take over more and more territory. And then you can hide this, pretend it's not a money grab, pretend it's about player safety. Oh, these men need more time to recover. Like all of a sudden, we're going to play a 30-week season. We're going to go all the way up until May. Like, screw you, baseball. Screw you, NBA. Like, you guys make adjustments. You guys move into the summer. And they absolutely could do it, and I'm here for it because I miss football right now, and I don't want a 7-month off season. Like, it feels way too long compared to every other sport that only takes like 3 or 4 months off.